Hi, students and teachers, wherever you guys are at. I hope everyone's doing great. We have a special guest. This is musician Chris Cleveland from the band Stars Go Dim. So, Chris, for recording purposes, can you tell us your first and your last name and how you got started in music?
My name's Chris Cleveland, and Lord, I got started really young. My whole family is full of musicians, and so kind of started playing in church when I was little, like 3, 4 years old on stage, and then it got out of hand.
That's amazing. So, one of the kids they had emailed earlier and they wanted to know what all instruments do you play?
Mainly piano and guitar and sing, and then I can kind of play a few other things. I don't know if you guys can see me very well or not, but I'm in my studio, so you can see like a couple pianos and stuff. And then I've got like, let me see if I can turn my camera around without it getting weird. Which way is this going? Okay, more pianos. Let's see, more
Wow.
pianos, amps,
That is wild.
microphones. Then a few guitars, drums, more guitars. It's a whole thing. Oh gosh. Sorry if I just gave you motion sickness, but
No, you're perfect.
I
You're
play a bunch
perfect.
of stuff, but mainly piano and guitar. But the only thing I claim, I live just outside of Nashville. The only thing I claim here is singing, to be honest with you. Because there's so many people who are really good at everything else.
You have an amazing voice, and personal. We used your song. My mother passed away a number of years ago, and we used your song for her funeral. And you're one of my favorite musicians of
Oh,
all
man.
time. So I love it, and I love being able to connect with you. So some of the kids there are already messaging in questions, and guys, keep them coming. This is great, and we'll see if you can perform in a second. I know a lot of questions are about that. But one of the kids, they want to know, what is it like overcoming the adversities with the surgeries on your left ear? Like how is that as a musician?
To be honest, it's probably not as juicy of an answer as you want. I've never known any different. So, I was born with a tumor called cholesteatoma, and my first surgery was 18 months old. So, if you can tell, my left ear sticks closer to my head than my right one does, because it's been cut off and sewn back on so many times with surgeries. See, I've never been able to hear out of my left ear, and so it's something that I always had to. I just didn't know any different, and so I kind of learned how to do all of this kind of stuff despite it. The only thing that it kind of affects me is like if I listen on headphones, I can't hear a stereo mix, so like the left and right speaker. So I have to listen this way, and then I flip the headphones and listen to it both ways twice so I can hear all the instruments happening. And then when we play live, we use these in-ear monitors, so they're like custom molds to your ears, and I can't hear out of this one obviously. So I have to do kind of a strange in-ear mix, a little bit different than most people. But that's kind of it. And then everything else, I just haven't known any different to be able to hear the way that normal people hear. And so it hasn't affected me any way that I would know of by not ever experiencing sound the way that anyone else does. But I will say, if you're like right here behind me and you try to talk to me and I don't see you, you will think I'm really rude because I will ignore you because I can't hear you. I don't know you exist. And so if we ever meet in person, make sure you get in front of me and say hi, because if you're right here, it won't happen. I will not hear you, and I'll just keep living my life.
Noted, noted. We have a question from Europe. This is Christopher. You can unmute to ask.
Hello.
Yeah.
My question is, who are the members of your group?
Now it's just me. So I own the band and run it, and then I hire different people to play for me depending on what the tour is. And so sometimes that's me by myself, sometimes that's me and one player. I just am releasing some new music now, and it's really big. So the last full band thing I did was a 13 member band, And so it can be really big and it can be really small. And so right now it's me. When I started this band in 2007, which was probably before some of you guys were born, which makes me feel weird. There were four of us that were part of the band, and now we all kind of do different things in all different parts of the country.
So, great answer. We have a question from Emma, and she is in Spain. Go ahead and unmute to ask, buddy.
Hello, what has been the most vulnerable moment you've experienced on stage?
On stage? Oh gosh. That's a great question. I think as a musician, to be very good, you have to be vulnerable, or the music is unbelievable. Like you don't believe what I'm singing, or you don't believe what I'm saying. And so to write a good song or to give a good performance, there is this balance of me opening up a part of myself to you, who I don't know, that in a normal relationship you probably wouldn't do as strangers. And so in one instance, there's like you have to have a bit of that vulnerability every night to put on a good performance, or every time you sit down and write a song and do that kind of thing, so you can see and feel the same things that I see and feel. I'm trying to think of a specific moment. Sometimes songs hit you in new ways, even after you've sang them 1,000 times before. And that has happened with me just in different circumstances on stage where a song will emotionally impact me in a different or new way or take on a new meaning. And I can't think of one specific moment right now off the top of my head, but I'd say to do this well, you have to live in the tension of being fairly vulnerable all the time.
It's a great answer. One of my favorite songs, and I want to see if you can kind of perform like a little bit of it, but I wanted to know, where did You Are Loved come from? Like how did that start?
Yeah, so You Are Loved is a song that I released 10 years ago, which is crazy. It was the first kind of Christian song that I released into the world. And this will actually show how little I know about anything. We're all just guessing on what songs we think are going to be, hits and not, and but none of us know. It was a song that we wrote for our first record with it was Warner Brothers and Word Records back then. And it was a song that I actually, when we got done writing it, I thought it was too simple. I thought that I didn't think it was very good. I almost didn't put it on the record. Like, I just didn't think a song that basically just says "You are loved," in the chorus, was good enough to make, this album of art I felt like I was making at the time. And so I had some friends and some people at the label was like, "Hey, there's something to this song. Maybe you should go back and look at it." And so I went and kind of took the version that we had at the time and I rewrote the verses and then turned the song in, and it wound up being the first single off of that record, and then wound up being this huge hit at radio and all these kind of things. And so subsequently I kind of realized that the song, while simple, was like perfectly simple, and it was easy for people to digest. I think sometimes in our songwriting we try to be as clever or as creative as possible, and sometimes we miss the mark because people can't digest it. And I think that song was this perfect blend of message in its simplicity and digestibility for people, and it just hit. But the reality was is it was a simple song we wrote, and I didn't think it was very good at the time. And I was wrong.
Yeah, that is a massive hit. Could you, one of the kids also from Russia, they want to know, could you play a little bit of that for us right now?
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear my piano, can you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see. I'll do a little bit of that song. Do my own fresh little version here. You loved in your hearts in a thousand pieces. If you're lost and you're far from reason, just look up, know you were loved. Just look up, know you were loved. When it feels like something's missing, when it hurts but you can't find healing, just look up, know you were loved. Just look up, know you are It's like the sad version of the chorus of that
Good man, you got like soul in your voice. I love that.
Oh man, that's all I am.
Oh, we got that. Great. We got a kid, Pablo. Pablo, you had a really good question, buddy. You can go ahead and ask, Chris.
You do concerts in USA or out of USA? USA.
Say that again.
Do
Do I do
concerts
concerts?
in outside of America or only in America?
Both. I do way more here in the United States because it's easier and it's cheaper. But sometimes I make it to other places. I've been to like Central America. We're talking about going to Brazil. I've been to Australia. I've been to a lot of European countries and that kind of thing. I've never made it to Russia, wherever that question was. And I've been to Barcelona, but I haven't played there. I'd like to. It'd be fun.
You got a lot of kids in Spain and France on this call.
Really? And I've
Yeah.
been to Paris a couple times, which I love too, but haven't played there.
You go. Adrian, you had a good question. Go ahead and unmute, buddy. And what country are you in, Adrian?
Hey, I'm from Spain.
Oh, there you go.
My question is that what do you do to feel inspired to write and compose music, and when you are sure that your song is finished?
I think all the time for me when I'm creating music, I'm just trying to be honest with myself and about what I'm talking about. And so I can't write your experience. I can't write about your life, but I can write about mine and I can write about how I feel and the things that I've seen. And so I try to be true to myself in that way. And I feel like if I'm always honest, at least, then hopefully my experience will resonate with your experience. And so in the songs that I write about the things that I've lived. I write about the things I believe, my faith. I write about my family. I write about love. I write about all of those things. And they're all these pieces of life that we all feel. And so my hope is in that when I can come honestly, is that if it resonates with me first, then it'll resonate with you. And then I don't have to worry about being inspired or those things. I do go through seasons where songs come more naturally or easily, but I try not to sweat it. If they don't come, I'll just get up and walk away and come back again later.
Great answer. One of our kids, Dahlia, she has a good question. Go ahead and ask, pal. A lot of musicians on here.
Awesome.
How did you start to make music?
So I grew up in a family that was really involved in a church. And here in America, I don't the churches are different than in Europe or overseas. And so just the culture of it is different. But the place I grew up, it allowed me to sing and play music in front of people at a really young age. And so and also allowed me to meet other people that were my age that were into music. And so we began to sing songs and make songs together kind of at a really young age. And then I started traveling and playing different places and playing other churches and things like that when I was about 10 years old. And so I turned 40 years old a couple weeks ago. So I've been doing this for 30 years now. And yeah, it just kept going. I don't know really how I got this far, but I just kept w taking opportunities and walking through doors. And then, over time, small churches became bigger things. And now I'm talking to you guys who are all over the world now, which is crazy.
Amazing. Fernando, you had a good question. Go ahead and unmute to ask.
At what point did you realize you were very good in music to be a professional, and how did you got famous?
I probably realized I was good enough I probably thought I was good enough before I realized I wasn't. If I can reverse your question a little bit, I think like if I go back and listen to songs and listen to recordings that I thought I was pretty good, here and then, listen back, I'm like, ooh, that wasn't very good, and so I think hopefully I've gotten better over time. Like I let my kids listened to some of my first recordings and things, and they were like, "Dad, you are not very good." And I was like, "Thanks, guys." But I think over time I've maybe earned my spot here. But really, all it's been is dedication over time. And so whether that's playing the piano or whether that's singing, it's getting better over years. It's learning, it's honing the craft. That's the same with songwriting. It's like getting and doing it every day. And so over the years, I think I've gotten better and better. And then, having any notoriety or success or fame of some sort in this thing, it's all subjective. And that's never been a goal or an aspiration of mine. I think for me, I always just wanted to be able to live a life and provide for a family and do the things I wanted to do. And music has allowed me to do that. And I think that's rare for a lot of people in the world. I'm one of not a lot of people that happens to, but I live in a town where a lot of us do that. So most of us here live kind of this way, which is interesting. I think it's come just slowly, and I think this is with anything, right? So whether you go on and you're a astrophysicist or a songwriter, as you dive into it, become a professional, you put your years in, it's really dedication over time that leads to success. And so one of the things in music that I think is just like life is the people who succeed at what we do are the people who never quit. And so in life, you're going to fail a lot. I've written thousands of songs that no one will ever hear or are really, really bad. And my hope is that a few of them get to you guys and are pretty good. And that's the reality, I think, for a lot of things in life is persevering and then dedication over time. And I think in any field, that'll get you some sort of success.
That's great advice. So you have, I'd be remiss not mentioning the new album Roses coming out July 11th. There's one song that I've been listening to on a loop. Can you play some a little light from the new single from that by chance?
Yeah, I can. I love this song.
It's a good song.
Don't know where go away, but I've been here before. And I could be afraid, but I'm not anymore. There's something familiar, even in the unknown. And I have no doubt that I can find my way home. Ooh. It just takes a little light. It just takes a little light. I don't need the sunshine filling up the whole sky. No. It just takes a little light. It just takes a little light. Every single dark night's just a part of real life. Oh, and I know I'll be all right. It just takes a little time to teach your heart to hold. Years to plant and let it grow. Walk away with only faith that everything will be okay. It just takes a little light. It just takes a little light. I don't need the sunshine filling up the whole sky. No, it just takes a little light. It just takes a little light. Every single dark night's just a part of real life. Oh, I don't know. I'll be all right. Yeah, I know. I'll be all right. It just takes a little light.
Yes, I love her. Good job, man. Good job. And that brings us to one of our other student questions. She had a good question about how are you able to sing like that? She Go ahead and ask, Maria.
Okay, I just wondered if you have ever taken singing classes, or were you just like in by trying and feelings and, you know, just general knowledge?
A little bit of both. I was in choir in school when I was young, but I would rather play basketball, and so I probably put more attention into that. And then I really learned how to sing, I think, by listening to songs I really loved, like on the radio, or I'd get CDs back when you listen to CDs in your car and drive around, and I would listen to these records that I loved, and then I would try and sing and do all the parts that I was hearing. And so that over, and then again, over time, just singing and singing and singing, I got better and better at it. So you could probably find some bad videos online, but yeah, I think it's the same as the question earlier. It's like over time, just putting time in, it's like a muscle. So you work it out just like anything else. And so now that I've been doing it so long, I can do it fairly easily.
You're really good at connecting with audiences. One of our students here in America messaged me and they wanted me to ask you, how are you able to connect with audiences when you're performing?
I think that's one of my favorite parts of a show. And so we do the same songs, you know, and say the same things and sing them the same way most of the time. And so one of my favorite things to do, though, is to kind of read the crowd and have that kind of back and forth banter with them. And so there's a few things in my show, or a few jokes or something that I can say, and by how the audience reacts, I kind of know how the night is going to go. So if they laugh at this joke, then I'm like, okay, it's going to be pretty good. If they don't, I'm like, well, I got to lean in a little harder. And so I always try to be aware of the connection. And it depends on the space we're playing and the approach. So if you're playing a big arena, it's a lot harder to connect like one-on-one. And so I'm trying to connect with people in a little bit of a different way than if I'm playing a small place or singing for just a few people, where I might actually like single you out and talk to you or something like that. But it's one of those things that I've learned how to do. I'm not a naturally extroverted person, but I've learned how to be over time. And so I can take over conversations and kind of and lead that. I don't love it all the time, but I've learned how to do it over time. But I really do love connecting with people. I love singing, and so that's part of it that I still really love to do, is going out and actually performing and doing this kind of stuff.
You're good. You're good. One of the kids wanted to know, do you have any plans after you release the album to do any performances outside of America?
Not right now. We're talking about trying to get some Brazil dates at some point, but I don't. I would like to do that. Y'all let me know where to come.
You got a lot of interest from some kids in Europe over
Let's
there.
Go.
One of the kids from the States, they emailed and they said, you mentioned your faith in past interviews. How would you say your faith guides you in your music and in life?
Yeah, like anybody else, I think. For me, in this record, if I can, because I think it actually fits, this isn't a pitch, but this whole record, Roses, that I am releasing, is kind of exactly the answer to this question. See, I believe, in short, that God is working in and around and through every single one of us, everywhere we are, in and through everything, everywhere, all the time. And so what we have to get better at doing is seeing God move in those moments. And so I think sometimes we, when we think about things like that, we think, oh, God is like this far off thing, or only works in like these, you know, weird miracle situations that have never happened to me in real life, those type of things. And I'm like, no, actually, like every time the sunrise comes up and there's breath in my lungs, like that's God meeting me. Every time my daughter laughs, every time like I go out onto the driveway and play basketball with my son, every time I can sit and sing a song with people all over the world and just connect over music and life and these things, this is God in between us. It's the force that holds everything together. It's the positive and negative pull in the electron and the neutrons and all of the things holding atoms together. Like, to me, that's God. And so when I start looking at it that way, then there's really not an aspect of my life, whether it's music or life or family, that God's not like deeply involved. And so when I started viewing life in that way, I was able to see God and let my faith move in much larger ways than a more traditional kind of transactional faith that sometimes we can get in the church. And so that's maybe a little bit too much information, but that's how I look at it.
You're perfect, man. You're perfect. And you're talking about transformational faith versus transactional. And I love that, you know, high frequency and all that kind of stuff. Real quick, one of the kids wanted to know, what's your favorite song that you've ever written? If you had to pick one.
Favorite one ever?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. There's a, it's going to be off of this new record. And it's hard. We've released a few already. We released one called Mama Don't Lie, which is like, some of these songs are almost funk songs, like, if your parents like Chicago or something back in the day, you can ask them about songs like this. There's a song I just released called Discover God that I think is one of the funkiest, nastiest, greatest. Like, it starts with a 45-second saxophone intro, and it's just, it's good. I don't think a radio station will ever play it, but I love that song. I usually like the songs that radio would never touch. And so they're kind of the obscure record songs. So right now, I'm going to say Discover God. But Roses is actually, if you want to like put faith and music and all of it together, I think the title track Roses off of this record is one of the best ones I've probably ever written.
Well, we're looking forward to it for the release in July 11th. So before we let you go, can we have one last request for a little bit of a performance, and then I'll unmute you guys all and you guys can applaud him, and then I'll end the meeting for all. Is that cool?
Sounds good. What do you want to hear?
Personally, I love Never Enough, man. Because it reminds me of my mom. Like, dude, you killed it. It was probably the greatest performance ever.
Okay. I feel like I need to Google the lyrics, so I don't.
Or you could do Mama Don't Lie, whatever you want.
Let's do that. I'm gonna do what you want. Never Enough lyrics.
Who's ever seen The Greatest Showman on this call? Thumbs up, anyone? Greatest Showman, maybe you'll recognize it.
Gotta remember how it goes. I haven't sang this in a long time. Let's see how it goes. I'm trying to hold my breath. They stay this way. Can't let this moment in. You set off a dream in me. Getting loud. Can you hear it echoing? What's this chord? Take my hand. Will you share this with me? Cause darling, without you, I think I remember. All the shine of thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never never been enough times ago. Still too little, these hands could hold the world, but it'll never be enough for me. Never enough for me. All this shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky, will never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be enough for me.
Yes, no, that was great. We all say thank you to Chris for taking time out of his day to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
Bye.